What place matters more to us than home? Our identity, security, and happiness all get tied up in having a place that we can call home. And that's equally true for millions of people who need help from government or private agencies. Today, we begin a series of reports on the importance of home for Americans who need support. The disabled, the mentally ill, pregnant teens, young adults leaving foster care. Today, and on Tuesday evenings over the next 4 weeks, we'll hear stories of how, for them, a home is a crucial step to full participation in ordinary life. We start with Oxford House, a program that first gives a home and then a second chance to people recovering from alcoholism and drug addiction. NPR's Joseph Shapiro reports.
The first thing you notice when you arrive at Oxford House Southfield is the explosion of flowers. Red, pink, purple, white. Two fragrant magnolia trees frame the brick house. A tall potted rose bush stands at the front door.
Hey, William, your plants look so nice out here. I love these roses.
That's David Dixon. His good friend William Owens is the avid gardener. The two men came together at this group home for six recovering alcoholics and drug addicts. It's in a neighborhood lined with trees and family homes in Shreveport, Louisiana. When the house opened 2.5 years ago, the yard was wild and overgrown. William and David set about resurrecting the yard, much the way they did their own lives.
When I met William, he took me in and made sure I had got something to eat right away, had a place to sleep, and I was pretty much at the end of my rope. I was pretty down, you know, in the gutter, so to speak.
David and William first met months before they came to live together. William was working the front desk at a nearby detox center the night David's mother dragged him in. David's small son Matthew was hanging onto his leg, crying for his daddy. William calmed the boy with crayons and colored paper. William says from that moment, their friendship grew, though it would be tested.
You know, you just hit it off with some people great, and David and I did. You know, and there again is a case that we're as different as daylight and dark, but very, very close friends.
Different people get thrown together at Oxford House. Black, white, rich and poor, gay and straight, they come together as equals, fighting the same disease. William is small and wiry. He's 61. David's 35. He looks like a football quarterback. He's clean-cut handsome. William arrived at Oxford House Southfield in January of 2000. David moved in several months later. David worried he was coming to some kind of institution for addicts.
It wasn't what I expected. You know, it was homey. It just felt like home.
Oxford House is one of the most successful recovery programs ever. A group of recovering alcoholics came up with the idea. For a group home where there's no paid staff, the residents make every decision, from who cleans the toilets this week to the hardest decision of all, to kick out a friend who has started drinking or using drugs again. Unlike other recovery homes, there is no 2 or 3 month time limit. You can stay in an Oxford House the rest of your life. Just pay the cheap rent, that's the money that funds the house, and don't relapse.
This is our temporary house charter from Oxford House. And,
William picks up a copy of the Oxford House rules. At this house, they're kept in a frame on a coffee table. That way, everybody sees them every day.
Any resident who drinks or uses drugs must be immediately expelled. 30 minutes to get out. And they know that when they move in here. And I don't care how close or how many tears, they know the deal.
That part of the deal became clear last winter, the night that David disappeared. William and the other men in the house frantically worked the telephones.
We called the hospitals, the jails, you know, trying to find out, you know, anything.
I was at this sleazy little hotel, locked up and using, not even watching television, just using crack and talking. And when it runs out, you know, try to find a way to get some more.
It says something about Oxford House that the men living there tried so hard to find David. It says something about David that so many friends searched for him. When he called his ex-wife to say he'd be skipping a visit with his son, she traced his phone call back to the motel. Then David's boss at the dairy where David kept the machines running called William.
His boss thought so much of him, his boss went to get him. And he said, well, I've got my gun loaded and it's in the truck and I'm going to go find that boy. He's too good to this to be happening to, you know.
And I looked out the curtain and my boss was standing out there with his arms crossed and a .45 pistol in his hand. And, he almost hit me, and then he hugged me. And then he said, I'm not leaving here without you. And I said, okay.
When David relapsed, William understood. He'd been drinking and using drugs for 40 years, addictions that landed him in jails and mental hospitals. William says it was only when he got to Oxford House that his life turned around.
This way I'm around people in recovery, you know, 24/7, and we're all like this here in this house. If we have a problem, we come in and talk to somebody about it. And when you talk about your problems, all the power of that problem disappears.
One other thing made Oxford House work for William. He became responsible for others, too. William says when he helps others, he's helping himself, because then he's reminded of the need to keep fighting his own addictions every day. The first Oxford House opened in 1975 in Maryland, and the men wrote down their method in a handbook. Today, there are nearly 900 Oxford Houses, started with that same 29-page manual. 60% of the men and women in Oxford House have been in jail, and 40% have been homeless. You wouldn't think the typical residents could run a group home by themselves, but somehow, says William, they do.
I don't think y'all understand the love and compassion people get when they're together in recovery. And it's a stronger bond than even with a biological brother or sister, because, you know where this person has been. You know where they're going.
And when they evict a friend, they know they are kicking him out to a dangerous place. Still, one housemate's relapse threatens the recovery of all. William could not let David put him or the other men in danger. So on the night that David's boss brought him back to the house, William and the other residents were tearful but resolute. The men convened an emergency meeting and voted to kick David out. Then they went back to David's room and helped him pack. That was last January.
Matthew, sticky. You want to swing on that one? Why not?
Because it's broken.
Okay.
That's David with his son Matthew. They're on a playground across the street from Oxford House Southfield. They've come to visit. David's been clean for 3 months. That's important, because now he can apply to return to the house. It's what he says he needs to do for himself and for Matthew, who's six.
He's the main reason that I don't give up. You know, I used to say at a meeting, no matter how many times you fall down, you've just got to be prepared to get up one more time, you know. If you fall down 100 times, you've got to be able to get up 101 times. And it makes it easy when you have people that love you and care for you.
And among those who care most are William and the men at the house. Even after David got evicted, he talked to William every day. Now William's trying to help David get back in, but the house is full, and there's no opening expected anytime soon.
Come on in, Matthew.
That'll stick, Matthew.
Matthew feels right at home at Oxford House Southfield. Before David got thrown out, Matthew used to spend 2 nights a week here, sleeping in his daddy's double bed. Now he heads right back to William's room, where he knows how to find the Cartoon Network on the large TV. William's tidy bedroom is spacious. A window overlooks his garden. Family photographs on the wall are a sign that William has mended relationships he once destroyed. For William, this is more than a room.
I've got a home now. I've got my own little world in my room. You know, and it's mine. And everybody here considers this their home. It's not just a place to flop and spend the night.
And that's what David doesn't have. After getting kicked out, David moved from place to place. A few nights a week, he would sleep at his mother's house. On nights when his ex-wife worked the midnight shift at the hospital, David slept at her house and watched Matthew. On days like this one, he stays at his girlfriend Marcia's townhouse. Today, he's borrowed one of her oversized t-shirts.
Hello? Hey, Mom.
David's mother has tracked him down at his girlfriend's house. She's worried. It's the day before payday, a time of temptation for an addict.
Well, yeah, you just have to trust me on that one, Mom. I'm coming to Marcia's tomorrow night. That would be the safest place for me to be on payday. All right. Love you. Bye.
Everyone who knows David thinks he'd be safer back at Oxford House. And that every day he's not, he puts himself at risk. David says he wants to be in the same house as William, and he's willing to wait. That could take months. But there's another possibility. A new Oxford House could open. William's found a house for rent. It's his day off from work as a host at a Cajun restaurant. Now he's on the way to see the house for the first time. It's needed because there are many people waiting to get into an Oxford House in Louisiana. But William is thinking of David.
Yeah, that's it.
See, this is a nice house.
Whoa!
Okay, let's go check this deal out.
Part of the philosophy at Oxford House is that the residents not only run their own homes, they start new ones. William has brought Michelle McKenzie. She once lived in an Oxford house. Now she's in charge of setting up new homes in Louisiana. Michelle and William think this place would make a perfect Oxford house. It's large and luxurious.
Michelle, I'm moving out here. This is my room.
Look at the jacuzzi tub, William.
David would move in a heartbeat out here.
Oh, I know he would. And have his child out here. I know David would move out here.
The problem is that it may take 2 months to get this house ready. William thinks David needs a stable place to live, and soon.
Addicts and alcoholics seem to think if they've been clean like 15, 20, 30 days, we got it licked. And they go back to their families or to their apartments, and, oh, well, I can have a beer and it won't hurt. That's not true, you know, because one leads to another and another and another.
A few days later, there is a relapse. A drug test comes back positive on another man living in Oxford House, Southfield. He leaves, and David moves back in. David paints the walls of his room and lays down a fresh carpet. He thanks the men for giving him a second chance. But 1 week later, David stays out late. It's another payday. He calls William from a payphone. "I'm using again," he confesses. William hides his hurt by telling David what they both know, that David needs to come back, pack, and get out. Often when someone gets kicked out, they leave behind some personal item for William. Hanging in his room, there's a small stained glass window, a rosary, and an antique clock from David.
Like the stained glass, the clock, the rosary. To me, that's just a gift from them out of their heart that I've helped them in some way. But they acknowledge, you know, that it was their decision to go back out. It was not mine.
For William, these tokens are also daily reminders that recovery is a state of balance, and it's fragile. The man who gave the stained glass is in prison for murder. The man who left the rosaries on the streets using drugs. As for David, today he's clean again and trying hard to stay that way. His paycheck goes straight to a bank account. He's thrown himself into his job working extra shifts, and he's moved in with his girlfriend. But he'd still like to return to an Oxford house. William says it's too soon to even talk about. But the other day, David drove over just to say hello to William and the other men who kicked him out. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News, Shreveport, Louisiana.